We'd like to welcome you back to listen to another hour about Nikola Tesla. Our website is helloearth.info, and today is Thursday, the 25th of June, 2009, and this is Hour 5 with John McGinnis, director of the Tesla Museum for 14 years in Colorado Springs, Colorado, and Mr. McGinnis heads up the American Tesla Society, and calling in from Colorado Springs. Hello, John.
Hey, how are you, Curtis?
Good. Getting a little warm for the month of June, but glad to have you back to talk about Tesla.
Well, it's a pleasure to talk about him, and as we've shown already, we have a lot to say about Nikola Tesla, the greatest inventor in the last 300-400 years. The things that he's done and the natural gifts that he had, and his sense of hearing was especially acute. He was a fellow that would work at night. In the daytime, the noise would overcome him. So he especially liked working at night. His hearing was especially keen. And when he was first, and I don't want to call it an affliction, but this came about after he had suffered what many believe was a rheumatic fever. And as you know, there are diseases and so forth that we come across in our lives. And when we do, they sometimes leave a deficit. But in this case, the deficit was an unusually tuned hearing system, and so it wasn't actually a deficit. It was annoying to him. It was almost painful to him when he was subjected to loud noises. But like many of us, if we have a certain affliction, you do find a way to compensate for it and live with it. And the smart people take advantage of it. And Nikola Tesla did. There's a lot that we can learn from just hearing nature in our ears. When we hear the ocean pounding, if you just take the time, you'll find that there's a certain rhythmic effect that's going on. If we hear the wind blowing, there are certain frequencies of noise and so forth that start to emulate, and we pick up on that. So all of our senses, be it sight or the sense of touch or hearing, taste, all of these are complementary to our bodies. And if we train them well, if we let them progress to a point where we can make friends out of them, they will again turn around and serve us. And that's what Tesla found, is that his senses were there to serve him, and it would serve him in the construction of various inventions or the observation of natural phenomena. And if you had a very keen eyesight, very keen hearing, there are things that you are going to hear and appreciate that others will just walk right on by.
It sounds like his hearing was a lot more than just keen.
Well, it was actually phenomenal.
And John, how is that do you know anyone who had phenomenal hearing like that beside him?
Well, it had been reported that especially patients that had events like rheumatic fever strike them, that the body in some way was counteracting the effects of the rheumatic fever, but it would highly tune. You know, Curtis, when you get, let's say somebody takes a piece of chalk on the blackboard and runs it the wrong way.
Gets that vibration going.
Yeah, it does that, and we react. We get little pimples on our skin, and our hair stands up. Mm-hmm. But the character of our hearing is comprised of these little hairs that we have in our inner ear, and these are modulating the noises that come and are fed into our brain. Now, if they are especially taut, and I believe that the disease itself may have contributed to that, and if it did, it gave him a an especially keen sense of hearing, because they were so tight that the smallest vibration, the flap of a butterfly's wing, would be something that he could manifest. He could hear it. And although we don't pick up on that, it's like somebody with a microscope looking at something through the glass.
Well, with a microscope, that's an added tool. And Tesla didn't have an added tool, but he had this ability that no one else had.
Well, right. But I'm only saying as an example how we can manifest something that we normally wouldn't even see. We have tools like microscopes and telescopes and things that bring images into our eyes. Well, the same can be said about our hearing. And when the cords of our hearing, the hair follicles that are in our inner ear, when they are stressed and taut, they can react with just the slightest impulse. A gust of wind, a sigh, a tap on the table, and maybe a fly just landing on a piece of paper. All of that is magnified many times, but in the real world, for instance, you take a dog. A dog can hear a couple hundred times better than we can.
I know, but Tesla was supposed to be a human being like us.
Well, he was, and he came down with a calamitous illness and almost died from it. And it left him not the way he was before it all started, but it left him in a condition that was superhuman. It was beyond what we would normally conceive of a person's ability to have. And in this case, his hearing was just that sharp. Now, we, from time to time, will find things that will be popping up on television. There'll be some commercial for a device that would allow you to hear something on the other side of the street. Well, as keen as what that is, it is using basically the same type of technology, except instead of it being comprised of human elements, we have microphones that pick up the slightest disturbance from a distance and then reverberates them back through a communication mechanism into our ear. Now, just imagine a guy who didn't need that, and Tesla did not need that. He did, however, because of the affliction, and that's what he considered it in the beginning was an affliction. Because of it, he would compensate. How did he compensate? Well, he probably stuck his head in the pillow pretty deep at night when he was trying to go to sleep. And I shouldn't even say night, because that was his favorite time to work and do his experiments. But he would also be meeting engineers Thursday nights at Delmonico's, one of the fanciest restaurants in the entire East Coast. And that's where the movers and shakers, that's where they would go. That's where Tesla went. And those people that were investor quality people, wealthy people, and so forth, this is where they would congregate. But they wouldn't congregate unless there were characters like Tesla to draw them in. And so he was a real asset to have at a dinner party, would be to have Tesla there. But while in Delmonico's, he meets J.P. Morgan, he meets Samuel Clemens, he meets a lot of the movers and shakers of the day, and the prominent engineers. Topics of discussion were very sophisticated. Sometimes the gauntlet was thrown down over a precept that someone may have had, and Tesla would say, well, that just won't work. I've envisioned it, and it won't work. And the way that they would exchange, it would get heated at times. But for the most part, it was like storytelling time. And Tesla was there to discuss what he had discovered that week or what he had observed in the recent time periods. And they would become fonts of information that people could draw off of. And many times when somebody was working on their own invention, they would have a problem of one sort or another. Tesla was interested to hear and solve a problem if he could. He was very amiable with people as far as trying to reach out and help them with whatever problem they were having. Of course, along with that, you would have people proposing problems that they had never really confronted, but would seek the answer to what their problem was, even though it didn't really exist, but it gave them a handle on how to address it when the problem would arise. So that was one of the things. And he, of course, would talk about his famous coil. He, at the time, would demonstrate his coil in Madison Square Garden. There were no Sunday afternoon football games, but there was a time when people would go to Madison Square Garden just to watch Tesla introduce his latest device. In private, with those that were distinguished and were powerful, he would not hesitate to display one of his elements. It might be something mechanical, like a pump, or it might be something electrical, but at any course, if the party had the means to further Tesla's project, they would most likely get a demonstration. Now, in the case of Mark Twain, he had been very skeptical about electrical energy. And you have to remember, at that day and age, this was the new thing. People were just starting to get the idea that by flipping a switch, we can have a flow of electrons produce or power something. And in Mark Twain's case, he had wondered about Tesla's ability to stand there and take hundreds of thousands of volts off of his coil. And when Mark Twain had told Tesla that he was having constipation problems, Tesla said, well, I'll fix that. Well, you know how he fixed it. He put him on a charged plate, gave him some voltage, and it immediately released Mark Twain's bowels. When that happened, Mark Twain was so thankful. And, you know, when people are constipated, Curtis, they're not happy.
No,
they're not. And it does affect you. It affects your productivity. It affects your perspective and so forth.
So I'm sorry. So Tesla passed through hundreds of thousands of volts, I'll say, from his Tesla coil.
Mm-hmm.
Through Mark Twain.
To Mark Twain, and Mark Twain got what you would call a little jolt, mm-hmm. but it released his bowels, and he thought that, and not just Mark Twain, but a lot of people would have constipation. There was no real cool word for it, but many people were very troubled by it.
Well,
I had a
probably because refrigeration wasn't very good, if they had much refrigeration at all.
Well, true. Now, I had a friend of mine. I had been in the Army with him, but following our tours, we were hanging around together, but he had a constant problem with constipation. And believe it or not, and I was very surprised, but he couldn't take it anymore, and he took his life because of it. Now, this is in modern days. This happened in the early 70s. But back at the turn of the century, when you had some problem like that, there was only one cure that anybody would talk about, and that would be castor oil. And there were many people that would not even, you know, venture to try the castor oil,
mm-hmm.
Which was an effective tool. But if you didn't like castor oil, and if you had been told by some people, and you know the way things get started, some people would say, well, that stuff is garbage, don't do it. A person would sit there and be in agony. Their whole attitude is that constant desire to want to relieve themselves and cannot. And then here comes a guy who says, oh, well, if that's your problem, I'll take care of that right now.
So he helped out Mark Twain.
Yeah.
And since then, and a lot of people knew Tesla in New York City.
Oh, yeah.
You said that they went to Madison Square Garden and they saw him there. And
right.
He was in 2,082 newspapers articles.
Right.
And he seemed to be erased after he was murdered.
Well, this is the sad part of it all. Before we went on the air, I was telling you about going through the National Archives, mm-hmm. and I'm always going up these blind alleys trying to pull out a piece of information about Tesla, mm-hmm. information that should be in the National Archives, and it doesn't exist. You can't find a picture of him. You can't find his voice. And all of that at one time was in the National Archives.
So and for it left the National Archives. And so so why did it leave? Why did they erase Tesla?
Well, here was the thing. During a period right around World War II, the National Archives was a protected element of this country, and at the time they did not have a safe storage place for it. It was valuable information, and they felt it was vulnerable. And so the Edison, Thomas Edison's company, came in to husband the National Archives collection. And as it turns out, everything that was Tesla was expunged. It was moved out. And people have said it's an accident. Nobody
no,
has.
It's not an accident.
No, of course it wasn't.
It's purposely done.
Yes, it was.
He's not forgotten, he was erased.
Yes, and that's it.
And there's a reason he was erased, and it seemed that he certainly wasn't erased while he was alive.
Well, he was still alive, but he was at an age where he had so many other things going for him, which was leading up to the reversal of the Supreme Court decision Tesla was had planned to be methodical and go about correcting some of the misdirected things that they did to him by trying to erase him. A lot of people would love to hear his voice, and I'm quite sure that I have his voice on tape now.
Oh, you
and,
do?
Oh, yes, and I'll be releasing this in due time. But they thought they got rid of his voice. I have been contacted by University of North Carolina. They wanted to know if there was any film, any voice collections, and...
I'm so interested. How did you get in touch? How did you get a hold of this audio recording of his voice?
Well, that's a secret right now, Curtis. I will be releasing how I did it when I do that. Mm-hmm. But how many people would love to hear how he sounded? And I'll be bringing that to the public with the issuance of my book. When that comes out, I'll be... giving, and I haven't decided if I was going to put these excerpts on a CD or whatever, but I plan to at least give somebody that taste of what he sounded like.
It'd be nice if you could give us a little taste of it on the air.
When I'm prepared to do that, you will be the first.
Sometime.
I will do it right on your show.
Oh, thank you. I'd like to. That would be really magnificent.
Oh, it's...
So how much in the way of time do you have of his recordings?
I probably have, let's say about an hour and a half.
Magnificent. And what does he say?
It's built up in segments, short segments, and if I gave you a clue, there'd be a lot of people running to overwhelm this source.
Oh, I see.
And this source does not want to be overwhelmed.
All right, well, you hold that source yourself.
Yeah, I will for now. But once it's released, they'll be able to come to your site and pick up a CD. Real transcripted messages from Tesla, and you'd be surprised at the format that he did it in. But it was a magnificent gesture on his end, and when you hear it, all these people that have been looking for it for these many, many years are just going to be struck by saying, why didn't I think of that?
Mm-hmm.
So,
oh, you mean how you found it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Because it was just serendipitous that I came across it, and it was something that they had neglected when they were on this race of pillage and destruction of all his known works that would have been recorded or filmed. This was one area they overlooked, and because of it, it struck me one night while I was dreaming, believe it or not, and I woke up and I scribbled down on a piece of paper what I wanted to do. I went back to sleep and then woke up again and then checked this source to see if it was available, and my gosh, it was. So I quickly got it and am possessing it now. And in due time, I will be releasing it. Mm-hmm. And there is no secrets or anything like that in this in these voice tracks. But nonetheless, you will be able to hear him as he sounded at the time. There is some background noise that needs to be eliminated, and I have a studio which will do that. But once they hear it, well, you know, it's kind of funny, Curtis. We think of General Patton and how strong and courageous general he was. Mm-hmm. But if anybody had heard his voice, they would have said, well, what is that wimp doing? You know, because he had a high-pitched voice. So it was kind of with relish that some of his, I don't want to call them competitors, but his colleagues that didn't like him, they called him a squeaky-voiced, arrogant SOB, but nonetheless, that man won many a battle, and he was very exemplary, but you would never have guessed that he was able to achieve what he did with a voice that was high-pitched and a bit on the squeaky side. So it's now that leads you to wonder what Tesla sounded like.
Yes. Was it a lecture, or was he speaking with other people?
He was speaking to other people. He was speaking to an audience, and a number of audiences, I should say. So there will be excerpts from each of his presentations, and I want to get them in the proper sequence. And then there was a lot of background noise, but thanks to today's technology, we can eliminate so much of that interference and give you a clear voice of Nikola Tesla. Now, I know of no one else that has ever done it, has ever found it, or knows where it's at. But if I was to tell you where I got it, you would say, why didn't somebody think of that? And I'm telling you, Curtis, I had searched and searched. It came to me in a dream, and it just struck me, I can't believe this, and I don't know if you ever sleep and then come up with an idea, you wake up. I write it down, and I wrote it down and then followed it up. It took a hunt. I mean, there was a hunt involved, but I carried through what I had intended, and I got what I needed. There were no secrets like, you know, the secret to this or to that. That was not part of it. It was a general discussion, but you will find that once everything gets sorted out, it was general in nature, but it was for the public benefit. And I think that's about as much as I want to say about it, but I promise you that when this goes out, I'll put it onto your website, and you'll be the first to have it available. And I'm not sure.
I'll say well again.
Yeah. So when we get together on this stuff, and I want to tell all your listeners that, you know, it's almost serendipitous how you and I met, but I enjoy you so much, and I appreciate the work that you have done, Curtis, because you've done a tremendous amount of research work, and you have pointed me in directions unknowingly, and it has helped me expand my own vista of Nikola Tesla. So,
Tesla was just removed from everybody's mind. When he died, he was taken out of all the history books, all the science books, and it's taken about 60 years to remove him from our memories.
Yes, and then we have... Then we have this National Association of Radio Broadcasters, NARB, and they have the Marconi Award. The Marconi Award for what? Wasn't anything. Marconi was just a piece of crap. He was a goose-strutting fascist.
He worked with Tesla.
No, he didn't. He went to one of Tesla's lectures is what he did.
Oh, I thought he worked with him a little bit in his laboratory, or he was in his laboratory.
Well, he, like everybody else, he got in. Tesla wasn't trying to keep any big secrets, but he bought Tesla equipment then emulated him and proclaimed him as his own. He did the same to Hertz. He did the same to so many other early radio pioneers. It's ridiculous. And he sat right at the knee of one of the biggest dictators ever, and he was a fascist. He was a man that had money and power and felt no responsibility when it came to claiming something. He would say it was his when it wasn't, and that he learned early that money is power, and power corrupts, and he corrupted some icons in the financial and in the technical fields, not only here, but in Europe especially. But this Marconi, the very idea that he was given an award for saving lives on the Titanic, he was responsible for the 1,500 that went down. He was one of the contributors of why they didn't get rescued. That's Marconi for you. And yet we have these people from the National Association of Radio Broadcasters that want to adorn him as the inventor of radio, that he was the font of knowledge. And this guy was nothing but a plagiarist. He was nothing but a copycat. And
why don't they know it?
Well, they've been told. They have been told. But when I see characters like Rush Limbaugh wants to get the Marconi Award, to me, that's great. Two phonies. I'm sorry if you're a fan of Rush Limbaugh.
I'm not.
His political... But there may be listeners out there, and he does have valid political viewpoints, but his arrogance is beyond the norm, and he's right in the footsteps of Marconi, so all the better. I would be disappointed if he was picking up a Tesla award. I mean, you know, something with that would have integrity. Something that would have truth behind it, something where a device is put together for the good of mankind, for the use of mankind.
Why don't they recognize that it was an act of Congress, and it was their information that told them that it wasn't Marconi that developed the radio, that it was Tesla? I mean, Tesla was, he was controlling an underwater boat in Philadelphia and at the Franklin Institute and elsewhere, I believe.
Well, he was, even before 1900. He wasn't even in Philadelphia at that time. He was in New York City, in Madison Square Garden.
Oh, that's right, the boat in Madison Square Garden.
A huge artificial lake inside that arena, and demonstrated his remote-controlled vehicles. On Lake Erie, he sends a remotely controlled boat out to a destroyer, circles the destroyer, and then comes back to shore, and that was all radio-controlled. No one could match him for that type of technology, and yet they've tried to bury him. And it's the financial forces in this country that wanted him out, wanted him dead, wanted him out of the way, did not want to give him the credit that he justly earned, and instead they were divvying up his technology to fill their pockets.
Exactly.
And
they wanted
to
keep his technology a secret so they could use it when they wanted to.
Absolutely. On many occasions they'll come up with a fake picture. They'll try to put it next to Adolf Hitler. They'll put up other scurrilous quotes that are just not even attributable to Tesla at all. But they'll be anti-Semitic in nature. There'll be something like that where they're trying to make him out as a boogeyman. They have tried so hard to do this time and again. And it's hopefully with the effort of this radio show, the work that you and I are doing, and hopefully the listeners will pick up an encyclopedia, go to the inventor of radio, or just look up Marconi, see what he's credited with. 9 times out of 10, they'll say he invented radio. Get a hold of those people that are writing the dictionaries and the encyclopedias, and put them on notice that it isn't true, not one whit true. The guy has been a carpetbagger. He comes in and he grabs other people's things, and because he had a lot of money, and I mean a lot of money, he could get away with it. And unfortunately, many of the inventors in this world are not endowed with large sums of money, but they're recognized amongst their peers. Mm-hmm. I don't know of any peers that are out there waving a flag saying Marconi invented radio. Not one. I've never run across that.
And you said there's the Marconi Association, or?
Oh yeah, there are, and these people have to be put on notice. Why are we glorifying this fascist? He was Mussolini's. He was like a nephew to Mussolini. Mussolini put him in charge of a region, a bureau in his fascist regime, and we still. And I don't say we because it isn't me.
There are
still those out there that are trying to tout this sham, this worthless, exploitive.
I hear it on the radio every time they talk about the inventor of the radio. They mention Marconi.
Oh, it's maddening, and
it is
not true, of course. And if somebody is as upset about it as I am, let them grow with us in putting these protests out. These people are nothing more than thieves, and that's exactly what he is. And it's and worse than that, his associations were with some of the biggest despots that ever lived. And Mussolini has got to be high on that ranking of despots. He's one of them. So, you know, as we talk, it even brings up the idea that when, first off, Tesla was given the priority in radio without so much as an appeal, without so much as one word from a patent master, it was controverted, and they turned around and gave Marconi credit for radio from 1901 all the way up to 1943, involving an easy $1 trillion in residuals. This is money that should have gone to Tesla, but instead it wound up in the pockets of Marconi, J.P. Morgan, John Sarnoff. The list is a long one. And they bump him off before he can ever get his just due.
Well, J.P. Morgan knew what he was doing, and ever since he left Colorado Springs with his Electricity for Everyone on Earth program.
Yes.
And they didn't want to see that happen, so they couldn't allow Tesla to have his own money, and so they had to keep him handcuffed somehow, and they kept him handcuffed financially by keeping him broke and letting J.P. Morgan do whatever. Anyway, you know the story. They just stopped him from being successful.
They distracted him with over 135 lawsuits. challenging his authenticity and whether or not his invention was truly his. And this is what they can even do today. Mm-hmm. And in our Constitution, our government is supposed to be watching out for us. Do you think it is? Hell no. It's just like this recent health plan. I don't care how you feel about it, but they were first talking about single payer. Then that went on. Then it was public option. That's going to be gone. And the insurance companies are going to be right back in the driver's seat again. And there's going to be virtually no change at all. And you tell me why somebody should capitalize on me. Let's say I break my arm. I'm going through enough agony. I don't mind paying the doctor. I don't mind paying the ambulance. I don't mind paying the emergency room personnel. But then the guy that is getting more money than any of them is some high-priced insurance executive that just sucks it off of the top in addition to that. So here is somebody that's capitalizing on our agony so he can get his new yacht. And did he do anything? Absolutely not. I'll tell you, Curtis, the corruption and power of money, there are six lobbyists. This is just the health industry. This is just the insurance companies. Six lobbyists per every representative in Congress.
So if we were using all of Tesla's devices,
yeah,
especially his Tesla coil, and we were all drinking ozonated water and all zapping and keeping ourselves healthy by breaking our oxygen molecules in half, and our bodies would be clean on the inside. Well,
right.
Well, that would put the medical profession really in trouble, sort of like Chrysler. That the hospitals would be empty, or nearly empty.
Now, part of that I'm buying, but part you've got to recognize the value of a hospital and a doctor and all of those.
I think they're very, very valuable when you need them, but there's many things that.
But preventive, they don't want preventive stuff.
They don't want preventive. They want to have those. Well, they call them patients, but they're really customers. They want to have that customer walk in the door.
Exactly.
And like the hardware store down the street, if the fellow who owns it would just drink ozone water, his leg would heal.
Yeah.
He's been walking around on crutches for months. And I just want to say to him, you know, he thinks I'm going to want to sell him something, but just come over to my house and drink ozone water twice a day. And within a month, he won't need those crutches.
Well, that's true.
But if the hardware store only had new customers, they'd go out of business. They have to rely on you coming back needing something else. Coming back. And that's what the doctors do. And that's why they had to get rid of Tesla.
And you notice how people are getting back to their roots. They're getting organically grown food. People are much more sensitive about the way that we're treating our ground and our groundwater and our air.
Mm-hmm.
We've ran rampant for years and years. We didn't care about smokestacks. We didn't, you know, if you had money, you didn't live near them. That was the cure.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't allow that to happen to our fellow man. We shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, where is your conscience? And the old guard, those people with the money, they don't want any change. As long as they've got power, they're going to exercise it, and they're going to exercise it to their benefit because they can stand off. And they believe that there's nothing to these forecasts of global warming and so forth.
And that's why they wanted to make Marconi the inventor of the radio. They didn't want to have Tesla have his own money.
Right.
Because then he wouldn't have any troubles with money, and he could get a lot more, be a lot more productive. Instead, he spent all his time fighting everything. Or not
he
all
did.
His time, but a lot of time.
Well,
That's unproductive.
Well over 100 times. And these were really litigious suits that they would put him in. And they would approach his friends. They would pay people money to lie, to try to shore up these scurrilous statements about where technology came from. Edison, as an example, has a guy that broke into Tesla's lab. And this is the power of Edison. I'm trying to think of the fellow again, very well-known physicist. But he breaks in. He's going through all of Tesla's stuff because he wanted to bring it back to Edison. He gets caught red-handed, and instead of imprisoning him, instead of sending that man to jail, Edison stepped in and said he let him do that because he didn't want to duplicate anything that Tesla was doing. He didn't want to duplicate.
What a lie that is.
Yes, but he had power, and raw financial power is what makes things happen in this country. We brushed a little bit on it, you know, with Congress. These lobbyists, they should not even allow them. They ought to be letting these representatives listen to the people. Instead, it's listen to the money. And that's what a politician gets elected, and his only course of action is to make sure that he gets reelected again. Well, it's not right.
Well, you have an electric bill, don't you, John?
Sure.
Electric bill, and do you have to pay for the lights that you turn on?
You sure do.
And do you have to put gas in your car, or is it an electric car that runs off the energy of the earth and the sun?
Yeah, don't we wish?
And wouldn't you have a lot of money in your pocket? How about if all the cars and trains and planes and buses and trucks all ran for free?
Oh, that would be magnificent.
We would all live like kings, wouldn't we?
We sure would.
And and you wouldn't have to pay that meter for the electric meter. So who's not making money now?
Yes.
And this is why they gave Marconi the award for the until Tesla was dead. As soon as Tesla was dead, it didn't matter anymore.
No, it all went away when he died. But had he lived, and you could have fully expected him to live and to reorient all of these residual incomes that should have been coming to him instead of General Electric, instead of Westinghouse, instead of John Sarnoff and NBC and RCA and the rest of them.
Yeah, I wish he didn't tear up his royalties with George Westinghouse. He should have said, how about if we just split it 50-50?
Well, you see, and that just shows the character of the man.
Exactly.
He goes, better that man go forward than me.
Yeah, well.
Still at that time, he did have, you know, independent wealth, but he was just in their gun sights, and they were gunning for him.
And just think what the Wardenclyffe Tower would have been finished and operating if he didn't have to be looking for money and those people in the... at Delmonico's or...
Well, I want to tell you an interesting story. I recently have met a very talented young man who has been a real Tesla fan and has been interested in wireless power and so forth. And he's done something I haven't seen before, but from a distance of about a block away, he's able to run a vacuum cleaner off a Tesla coil. I have not seen anybody match that ever before.
He's running a vacuum. Well, a vacuum cleaner takes a lot of power.
It does.
It's probably one of the most, out of everything in your house that uses power, it probably uses, except for the kitchen stove, it's probably the next one down.
Oh, yeah. It's about 1,500 amps to run a good vacuum.
Yeah.
Easy. And here he's doing it wirelessly from a block away.
And you saw this in operation?
Yes, I have. And
A
block away.
In Colorado Springs?
In Colorado Springs.
Hmm.
So there are researchers out there, and this is, well, I can't call him Tesla exactly, but he is a mathematician. He does understand what Tesla was doing. He's got a good grip on it. He's still wondering about the losses because he is suffering a lot of losses with his technology, but nonetheless, he is still doing it. And that is, it's the most impressive resonant experiment I've ever seen. And that's on an old Electrolux vacuum, but that vacuum was one hell of a vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad to say that I will continue to work with people like that, people that come forward and show something. Right now, this type of technology is experimental. It has a lot of distance to go, but the parameters are in, and now let's go for refinement. Let's see where we can make it better. But just to get the result that I'm talking about is night and day. It's something a lot of people... well, when I was doing conferences 10 years ago, this would have been unheard of. University of California, Berkeley, they did an experiment. And again, it was wireless power, but they were sending it off of a radiant device, off of a coil type of device, mm-hmm. and they were sending it 100 feet, and that isn't very far at all, and they had good line of sight, but if you would have stepped in between the transmitter and the receptor, you'd have gotten your butt fried. That's what would have happened.
Well, that's not the same technology.
No, it's well, they're cousins. I mean, there are certain concepts that remain both through the ground and through the air. There is another way, when Tesla was doing experiment in wireless transmission, he had used and this is something else that's missing again, but he had these ultraviolet lamps, and he would point them skyward, and he would also send a signal up into the ionosphere. But there was something about these ultraviolet, and these were pencil sequin beams. It's kind of like laser beams, very thin columns going up and returning with force to illuminate these light bulbs.
Now, is this ultraviolet lamps, or are they violet color lamps?
No, well, you see, we don't have them. Amongst a lot of other things, these are something that I have been looking for, hoping to recover it. And who knows, they might even be lying there over there in Serbia, in that museum over there. We don't know. They, of course, if you ask them, they'd say no. You ask them twice, and they'd say it's impossible. These people put Tesla down more than they lift him up. It's just a shame an American icon like that sitting over in Belgrade. It's ridiculous.
Well,
just shouldn't be.
Well, describe the amount of cubic feet of material was shipped over there that was Tesla's.
Something like. In the area of about 30,000 cubic feet of materials. That's a lot.
And you said the some government members looked through the material first and decided that, I mean,
yes.
with the little knowledge they had, they didn't even know what the heck they were looking at.
Right. But they had the Alien Property Office, who was very liberal with who they let get a hold of it. If you were a government agency like the FBI or maybe the Department of Defense or Department of the War, as it was at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, these bureaucrats are all trying to gain favor with each other.
Mm-hmm.
It is something. I wish I could tell you a little bit of some of the extraneous research that I'm doing. But, again, these things would just they inflame me when I come across this material, and I spend hour upon hour upon hour, but I want to get to the bottom of it, and I want to give a decent explanation as to who, what, and why. But the job they did was very, very thorough, but not thorough enough, because I know that I'm going to expose some things, and when I do, there'll be no people saying, well, this isn't so. Believe me, it will be documented.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the copies of things that I have in my files already, I've got a whole file drawer just filled with, for instance, I have over 550 pages of his own documents. And this, I know, is not in the hands of many other people. I know I have it, and I presume that if other people worked as hard as I do, may have much of what I've got. But that isn't a whole lot, considering the volume that was taken out of this country, and with such aplomb when they did it, you know, like it was.
And once again, with a reason to take it out and not have it in this country, and have Tesla gone from the American public's mind.
Yes.
And from the new people, the new the people who were being born after 1943.
Yes.
Those people couldn't hear anything about Tesla, not in the history books, science books, or newspapers. He was totally gone.
They're inculcated to believe the line.
Well,
and the line is Marconi and Bennett radio. Don't fight it.
Mm-hmm.
Edison did everything.
And I even hear even radio shows talking about Marconi.
Yeah, it's
drives me crazy.
It does me too. And as an organization, and an individual, I'd like to get that stuff corrected, because I am tired of, let's say, my grandchildren admiring a guy like Marconi. I mean, in German, you would call him a Dreckischer. A dirty bugger, because that's what he is. That's what he always was. He was a liar, and he felt because he had money he could do it. And then he gets in league with these capitalistic centers like the Rothschilds, Morgan, other names, the Bushes. it's all there. It's in black and white. And what they need to do is, if you can't look it up yourself, start listening to this program, and when my book comes out, it'll be a cacophony of information about Nikola Tesla. That's the truth. And I'll point out the lies, too. There were other inventors in radio, and you find they conveniently commit suicide. Now, isn't that Armstrong is one of them?
Yeah, so, well, our hour is just about up, and we're going to continue this exactly at this point. Still, why there's a reason why they wanted to erase Tesla from the American public's mind.
That's right.
And I want to get down to the bottom of that with you, John. And I have my feelings, and you have yours, and we'll discuss this next time, too.
Okay, well, we shall. And I appreciate the time. I hope your listeners are as apt and eager to find out more about Tesla. And it's my pleasure to bring you what I have found. And I hope they feel like I do when you see I'm almost at a loss for words why they want to do this. And it isn't just for the money. It's that power,
and,
you know.
Well, it is for the money and it is for the power.
Yeah, and it's.
And we'd like to hear a little preview of Tesla's voice.
Oh yeah.
Sometime soon, maybe give us 30 seconds or something, a minute or.
And, well, let's leave that open for right now. I haven't put anything on disc yet,
okay.
And the records I have. They're very, very tender, and when the studio gets everything cleaned up, I'll give a little sample out.
Oh, great!
That they'll hear on your show, where they'll never hear it anywhere else.
All right, great. That has me extremely interested. I want to hear this.
Okay.
All right, John. Well, we'll talk to you next week, and thanks so much.
Oh, you're welcome. And we'll be getting back and picking up on Nikola Tesla when we return.
Okay. Thanks, John. Bye.